advancing pleasure. This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
A reputation on as far as offense and defense and hard work and all of that, and not so much smoke and mirrors and what they were trying to bring in. So it'll be interesting. Again, you're right. With so much, and another reason, with so much coverage the way it is these days, every day you can get on a blog and go back and forth with people across the state and discuss Nebraska football. It wasn't that way 5 years ago. It definitely wasn't that way 10 years ago. And I think that's why there's not so much. I mean, what are they going to ask Coach Pelini today that hasn't already been discussed on this show and many others and many columns, many editorials? What's going to be new? You're right about that point. There's not going to be anything new, and that's because people have talked football 365.
People are going to compete for positions. That's what you're going to hear today. We know that.
Yeah.
The competition will not end in the spring. It will carry over to the fall. We know that.
Which one of the freshmen might see some immediate impact? Coach,
I don't want to single anybody out, guys.
Who's going to be next to Ndamukong Suh? Coach, who are some of the guys that stepped up last season that'll probably have to play key roles this year? Coach, who's Zach Lee's backup?
Then when he won't answer, I guarantee you, he won't check
every single one of those off during the press conference today.
And I'll guarantee he would say, I don't know that Zach Lee's our quarterback, so why would he have a backup right now? He's going to compete this spring. He's going to give it his all, and then we're going to look for the fall and then see what he can do over the summer to improve his game and be the type of quarterback we need here at Nebraska. Now back to you in the booth, Bob.
Well, people are interested in listening to that, and that's why we bring it to you.
No, I agree.
Spring press conference coming your way today. We're scheduled to start at 11:30, and Ndamukong Suh actually steps up first a little earlier than that, so that'll be going on as well. Quickly, Curt Schilling, Hall of Famer?
No doubt.
That's what I say. He has over 3,000 strikeouts. And if he has over 3,000 strikeouts and they're saying he didn't pitch enough, well, doesn't that mean the 3,000 strikeouts are even more impressive? He won 3 World Series titles. Don't compare him to Jack Morris. Good Lord.
Is that who he's...
Yeah, that's who they're comparing him to on ESPN. Jack Morris. Jack Morris ain't in. That's fine. Put Jack Morris in. I don't care. Curt Schilling, Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer. You got to put somebody in from this era.
There you go.
You know, you got Greg Maddux, who's pitched a lot longer than Schilling. Yeah. Curt Schilling, Hall of Famer. Curt Schilling, Hall of Famer. We go to the Dent Popper inbox. Mark and Minnan says, Daddy, who helped you with the big words when you wrote the blog? Did you use a big word?
I don't think so. Wikipedia. I don't know.
Hey, another thing with this wacky weather. It's a sports show. We talk sports. But I don't know where you're at right now. I don't know if you're sleeping. I don't know if you're resting. I don't know if you continue to go in shifts. I would not have wanted to have been a fireman or a volunteer fireman yesterday. And to all the gentlemen and ladies and anybody that had anything to do with that, I mean, here we said we're talking sports, but it's things like that where you're going out on the spur of a moment. You got no idea. You got up yesterday morning, you didn't know you were going to go fight a fire, and you sure the hell didn't know it was going to be something as wacky as that. So to all the folks who fought the fire, helped the folks fight the fire, take out what they needed, supplies, even if it just provide them some water, report on it. I thought the media folks around the area did a great job covering that. And obviously, you know, it just, again, it shows your appreciation to the firemen and firewomen from Kearney and all the communities from far away as Aurora that came in and helped out and all the small towns around Kearney. Again, just, hey, thanks. And, you know, That's what living in this part of the world is all about, I guess, is the help and taking care. And hopefully nothing major happened out of the whole deal besides, you know, light up some farm ground a little bit.
Yeah, some river ground and whatnot. But, yeah, you know what, I say great job and hats off. And that's a thankless job, but I thank you for everybody out there that did that.
We're going to take a break here a little early on the Doug and Daddy Show because we are airing the Pelini press conference in its entirety. So we'll take a break. And we'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
Holy shlamola!
What the hell is that?
I've never seen such recklessness.
Just another typical day on the Doug and Daddy Show. In order to test his will, Fred likes to subject himself to extreme conditions. Today, he's swimming with the Polar Bear Club during a blizzard.
Yeehaw!
At Train, we believe in extreme testing too. We expose them to desert-like heat, Arctic-like cold, and a gauntlet of abuses. So you can be confident you're investing in the most durable, reliable system available.
Get your extreme tested Train from the folks that continually pass the test with our customers. Tested, tried, and true. That's why you want to call Fidelki Heating and Air.
It's hard to stop a Train.
Right now, Kearney Yamaha invites you to get out. Get out and ride, that is, at the Kearney Yamaha Get Out and Ride event. That's right, you can save big money on super tough Grizzly utility ATVs. The 700cc Grizzly comes with fuel injection, water-cooled, fully automatic transmission, along with push-button four-wheel drive and power steering. Or maybe you want to go smaller with the 450 Grizzly. It has the same features and comes with high-low range and independent suspension. No matter what size of utility ATV you're looking for, the Yamaha Grizzly line of ATVs has the perfect machine for you. And right now, during the Get Out and Ride event, all ATVs are priced right to move.
This is Dusty at Kearney Yamaha, and we have every model of Yamaha Grizzly ATV in stock and priced to move. Stop by Kearney Yamaha today or check us out on the web at KearneyYamaha.com.
Don't forget, Kearney Yamaha has changed their hours for the season. Now open until 6 weeknights, noon to 5 on Sundays. Years of experience and huge selection. Kearney Yamaha, just south of the Kearney I-80.
The coronation of a champion is coming, and it's on Westwood One.
Chalmers, 4-3, and the tie, he got it! He got it! 2.1 to play! Dozier off the inbound, the half-court heave, it is no good, and we're going to overtime!
Can Bill Self and the Jayhawks soar to another title? Tune in here to find out.
The Sweet 16 and Elite Eight this weekend on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Right through the Final Four, up to the two teams fighting on the single bracket for supremacy. ESPN Radio Superstation is your home for NCAA tournament action, game by game, region by region. ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
A wind advisory is in effect for our area today as we'll see more cloud cover and a chance for some scattered rain or snow shower activity in some areas. Temperatures will meanwhile climb in the upper 30s for high later today with northwest winds 15 to 35. Tonight, clouds linger early, followed by some clearing with a low in the mid-20s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 30.
It's Tuesday. That means Troutman's Tuesday Trivia coming your way here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
I always love when Derek gets the cowbell out.
Oh, good Lord. Still waiting for the first One Shining Moment appearance of the Doug and Daddy Show NCAA tournament. You know, just waiting.
Can we effort that?
Well, we're going to wait. We're going to wait, though, because it's not time to shine, right?
It's not time. Not yet.
So that's NCAA tournament. Tony, I was disappointed last night. I watched the Creighton game, and you know what? I was disappointed. I rooted. I cheered. I watched what was a pretty good basketball game, and then I watched Creighton flush it down the toilet. And I just, from so many aspects, it's just like, hey, okay, there you are again. You're Creighton. You're second best in the state. There you go again. You're the only number one seed not still alive in the NIT. You're at home. You finally play a big boy. You can't beat him. I mean, just every single thing. You had a chance to beat him. Then you had a chance for Notre Dame to come in. You had this. You had a chance to make this special and then possibly go to New York. And it's not like your worst player ended up taking a three-point shot at the buzzer. Booker Woodfox, if he's still not the best, he was the best three-point shooter in the country back in the conference tournament.
Couldn't have got a better look.
And couldn't have gotten a better look and just missed it, and I understand that they don't all go in, and I'm not blaming him, but to miss free throws down the stretch, to know that Jody Meeks is going to score and then kind of throw up that circus shot he did to avoid the charge, outstanding, but Creighton had the chance to give themselves a two-possession lead numerous times and never took advantage of it, and it's going to hurt in the future. It's just another reason to say, well, Arizona was the right pick and not Creighton to go to the NCAA tournament. Creighton didn't do anything in the NIT to bolster their resume, barely beating Bowling Green, playing better last night, but losing to a Kentucky team average at best.
Yeah, not exactly the Kentucky teams people remember.
So 65-63, they're done, and now off to Notre Dame for Kentucky.
Doug, a little baseball was played last night. Kind of goes under the radar when it was Japan versus Korea. But
how much of it did you watch?
Didn't watch any of it.
Yeah, it came on kind of after. It was the tweener between the Kentucky Creighton game and the Davidson St. Mary's game. It was kind of a tweener in between. So I just saw a little bit of it.
Don't pitch to him.
Yeah, well. The World Baseball Classic, Japan won it 5-3. Ichiro is your MVP.
Well, interestingly enough, I got an acquaintance in Holdridge that had an opportunity to go work at the World Baseball Classic, and Eric Fuentes joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Erica, welcome, and tell us a little bit about your experiences. You got to go to Puerto Rico.
Well, thank you for having me, guys. I guess I caught a little bit of your show yesterday, and Tony, I figure I had the opportunity to work at my best friend in high school. Was pretty much the ramrod for the whole thing. He was also responsible for bringing the Expos down there a few years ago. You remember that?
Yeah.
And 3 years ago at a class reunion, you know, I made it back home, and I was in Puerto Rico, and we got to talking about it. The 06 had just been done, and he mentioned that, you know, they were going to do it again in 09. And I said, you know, if you ever need help, you know, I can sure volunteer, and so just give me a call. And he just goes, hey, I'm not calling you, I'm telling you. I'll see you in 09, and I tell you guys, it was a great experience.
Maybe for the fan out there that doesn't understand, Eric, because we don't really get it here. I don't think, like, they get it there. The excitement level of the Dominican and what goes on down there, can you expand on that?
Right. You know, it's such a big deal to us, I guess, and the United States seems like it just doesn't, they just don't get it. But, you know, you get a Dominican and a Puerto Rican an excuse to party, and I tell you guys, we're all over it. And that's the thing, you know, and it's not, you know, and granted, you know, big rivalries, but it's a very respectful rivalry as well. You know, we're going out there, and they're going to try to beat each other's brains out. You know, the big thing down there in the venue in Puerto Rico was that, you know, the Netherlands just came out and beat the Dominicans twice.
Well, and the huge upset that kind of put this year's World Baseball Classic on the map and say, hey, you know what, it's just not three or four teams beating up on everybody else. And Eric Fuentes is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, who helped work part of the World Baseball Classic. Again, you touched on it a little bit, but to get involved just kind of out of the blue a little bit, and what was it exactly that you helped do down at the World Baseball Classic?
Pretty much I was doing whatever my friend Enrique Cruz didn't want to do. I was his gopher. And you know what? I was more than glad to be his gopher because, I mean, it was an experience just like nothing else. You know, I got to Puerto Rico on Tuesday. Wednesday morning I was at work, and most times, you know, we wouldn't be home till, you know, beer 30 or past that, you know. And like I said, all I was doing is pretty much I was taking care of VIPs. You know, they'd be rolling in, somebody would need their tickets, I'd be the one, you know, making sure, okay, come with me, these are your seats. I was also, I don't know if did you watch any of the Puerto Rico venue?
No, I
saw
not.
A little okay, bit.
Well,
yeah,
you know, there was
bit.
Some big tents in the back, you know, in the outfield, and you know, part of my deal was just go around to make sure everything was going fine, and they didn't need anything or there was any problem. So I'll just go around and say, hey, how's it going? Good. Need anything? No. Okay. Next tent. You know, and I did that for a few days.
Eric, everybody wants to know the rivalries and stuff, the mutual respect. That there's not fights and there's not turmoil. I mean,
you go
to the Australian Open. Hell, there's fights from people in Asia. You go to the
it's not soccer.
No, it's not. I mean, it's not like that.
No, it's nothing like that. You know, there's a lot of respect. You know, and there's a lot of baseball fans down there too. I mean, and it was, you know, whenever we were playing, you know, they were just a high pitch, I guess, if you want to call it that. You know, of baseball fanhood all over the stadium. The venue in Puerto Rico, you know, and I was talking to my friend last night, you know, the stadium is called Iram B. Thorne Stadium, and for this event, it would hold close to 20,000, so it's not a huge stadium, but it's a big enough stadium. And MLB pretty much says that for the first round, the Puerto Rico venue was the most successful venue. And they figure out of 120,000 seats, they sold about 98. So they figured it averaged out about 16,000 fans per game. So that's, you know, for that stadium, that's incredible, and that's very good.
Eric, were you in Miami as well?
Yes, I was in Miami for three games.
And talk about kind of, I guess, the difference between the two spots and I guess, the fan following.
You know, and I guess I did watch when Puerto Rico 10 run the U.S. But, and again, did that give us Puerto Ricans an excuse to party? Yes. You know, we took over Miami Stadium. And, I mean, and it was just everybody, just national pride and singing and dancing and music and everything else, which I don't know how you can translate that to the United States, but, you know, it's just different.
Eric, what's the best time of year for this World Baseball Classic? Or is there another alternative?
You know what? I think it is what it is. You know, any time of the year that you do it, I believe that, you know, somebody's going to complain. I think, you know, they're using the, you know, the spring training that's, you know, it's a problem. Guys getting hurt. You know, they can get hurt in spring training too.
Absolutely. Well, Eric, we appreciate you giving us a minute.
Hey, no problem.
And thanks. I appreciate you sharing your experiences with us.
No problem.
Take Daddy next time, would you?
I don't think so.
Eric, thanks so much for the time.
You bet. Take care, guys.
Thanks. Eric Fuentes joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Got to be a part of the World Baseball Classic, working a little bit in Puerto Rico and at Miami with the first couple of rounds before they came to Los Angeles. That, I suppose, if you did anything, if you worked the World Baseball Classic, if you worked some of the soccer venues when they're playing for some reason, I can't think, what the hell is it?
World Cup.
World Cup. If you worked the Masters, if you worked a golf tournament, if you worked a tennis, you know, it would be different. And I suppose that would be different. But that would be also probably pretty cool to go down there and see something you wouldn't normally get to be a part of.
Well, I think the excitement level is so much more. When you see the stadiums, you know, Dodger Stadium, I think it's just blah. I mean, there's people, I told Derek before the show, three blocks away last night from Dodger Stadium going, what's going on down there?
Yeah, well,
I mean,
no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Hey, continuing with a couple of baseball notes before we go to break here, UNK and Hastings College, in case you didn't already know this, they had scheduled a game for today. They know that that's not going to happen, so they're going to play tomorrow, hopefully, 4:30 in Kearney. Nebraska will host Northern Colorado, weather permitting, this afternoon at 3:30. Don't expect a huge crowd there.
No.
Unless you're in one of the suites. So that's what's a couple of baseball notes there to pass along. And again, it is press conference day. We will be talking or hearing from Coach Bo Pelini, and I wonder if this will be brought up. Coach Ben Cotton. What's his status with the team? We learned over the weekend and yesterday.
Didn't do anything wrong.
That, the Lancaster County Attorney's Office dismissed the charges. The son of Barney Cotton, a Nebraska tight end, was someplace a little loud where he shouldn't have been, but he was on campus past the curfew time. UNL campus police cited Cotton at the end of February for minor consumption, disturbing the peace, and trespassing after responding to a quarrel inside Smith Hall. So basically, UNL campus police cited Cotton for being a college student.
The way it sounds.
So that's what happened there. Hey, we're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show again. Bo Pelini's press conference as they get ready for spring practice. That's coming up at the bottom of the hour. We will be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
This weather update is brought to you by Rich Peters and Matt Myers from Farm Bureau Insurance, located on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
For generations, Kearney Creed and Block and Christensen Concrete Products has been supplying Kearney and Grand Island with quality concrete and masonry needs. We are the experts on masonry and concrete products in the region. With over 140 years combined experience at our two locations, we're particular about who we deal with and what products we sell. Expect a high level of customer service at both our locations. Kearney Creed and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations, one block at a time.
You have more power than you may realize when it comes to managing your health care costs. With a health savings account partnered with the right health plan, you gain control over your medical dollars. Ask today about the new HSA eligible plans available from two names you trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, and your Farm Bureau agent. With Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, you get the best of both. Matt Myers and Rich Peters are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. For your health insurance needs in the Kearney area, call Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Make the call today and get the best of both with Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska.
A wind advisory is in effect for our area today as we'll see more cloud cover and a chance for some scattered rain or snow shower activity in some areas. Temperatures will meanwhile climb in the upper 30s for high later today with northwest winds 15 to 35. Tonight, clouds linger early, followed by some clearing with a low in the mid-20s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 30.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. It's time, as we get ready for Bo Pelini's press conference, for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. And we're going to do it on the air today, 1-888-455-ESPN. You can call now if you have not won a $25 gift card from Troutman's in the last 2 months. You are eligible, 1-888-455-ESPN. We've got a whole bunch of questions. So it'll be different for everybody unless the first guy knocks it out of the park. 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN. The first correct answer gets a $25 gift card to Troutman's. And let's go to the phone lines. Who are we talking with?
John.
John, here we go. We're going to be all over the board, but we're going to start with NCAA men's basketball.
Great.
Is that good? Is that bad?
That's real bad.
Uh-oh, that's real bad. Well, here we go. Siena winning their first-round game against Ohio State. What is the mascot at Siena College?
I have no idea.
Sorry, John. You want to take a guess?
He's gone.
John's gone. John's out. Let's go back to the phone lines. Who are we talking with?
Bill.
Bill, let's go to the NCAA tournament. You got one, Daddy?
Yeah, I've got one for you, Bill. What is the nickname of Morehead State?
I don't know.
Sorry, Bill.
Try back, 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN. Let's go back to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Andrew.
Andrew. Daddy, let's go back to NCAA basketball because I kind of like this. You go ahead.
Well, we're just going nicknames. What is the nickname of American University?
Eagles.
You are correct, Andrew.
That's outstanding because the next caller was going to get a World Baseball Classic question. It didn't matter. We were just going to throw a little curveball there. Did you know that or you got that pulled up on the computer right in front of you?
No, I'm driving. I thought I knew it.
Attaboy.
Thought I was 75% sure.
All right. Well, hey.
Here was my next one. East Tennessee State, Andrew. You know that?
No, I was waiting for Western Kentucky. I know that
one. That's Hilltoppers. Was East Tennessee the Panthers? Baby.
Buccaneers.
Oh, you know where you keep your Buccaneers. Let's take a break here, and Andrew, let's throw you back over to Derek. Hang on the line, Andrew. We're not going to take a break. We're just going to throw you over to Derek and get you hooked up for your $25 gift card. Well, Daddy, the answer, Siena was the Saints.
Right.
What other one did you do?
Morehead State.
Morehead State was?
Also the Eagles.
The Eagles. American was Eagles.
American
Binghamton.
Was Eagles.
I could have got that because that's Bears.
Bearcats.
Yeah. Really?
Bearcats.
Bearcats. That would have been touchy then.
Cleveland State.
Vikings, you said. I didn't.
Vikings.
I didn't know that out of the gate. I didn't know that right out of the gate.
Portland State.
Gonzaga. Yeah. See, I just kind of thought. Well, what's the nickname at Gonzaga?
I'm not sure I know that. Gonzaga Wolfpack? No.
Well, what is it? What's the nickname at Gonzaga?
Oh, the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
You didn't know that.
Had that big bulldog, and
yeah.
They put the little thing up.
Well, I knew it was like.
He's got the collar.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Everything okay? Everything all right? You okay? It's all right. It's okay.
Portland State. Now they played Kansas a year ago, right in the opening round.
Portland State, Green. They're like, it's
you
off the beaten path. It's a
Vikings too.
Is that the Vikings? Okay. No, I didn't know. Didn't know. Doug and Daddy Show, congratulations to Andrew. Where was he from, Derek?
He's from Kearney.
Andrew from Kearney, a $25 gift card to Troutman's Quality Meats on a Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Hey, hope things are going well in your Doug and Daddy bracket. If you've got a chance to check that out, go to online, go to ESPN or ESPNSuperstation.com, see where you are. We've got great gifts from Graham Tire, Fanatics, the Tri-City Storm, Big Apple, the fine folks at Schroeder Smoke Foods, and from the Nebraska Basketball Office, including an autographed basketball from Doc Sadler, tickets to Nebraska basketball next season, which will be going towards our top prize winner. So those are among the prizes for the folks, and we've got a two-way tie at the top. I will say, Daddy, I took a little hit to the women's bracket last night. I had Rutgers with the upset, but I didn't have North Carolina getting knocked out. Kansas State had them getting beat last night. They're gone. Four Big 12's women's teams will advance on and play tonight. Four Big 12 women's teams are playing tonight, and those far include Oklahoma, Baylor, Texas A&M, and Iowa State. And Baylor, their coach Kim Mulkey, she missed the first round game. They almost
kidney
lost
stones.
Almost lost in overtime. You know, and they're going to be back tonight. And Baylor plays South Dakota State. And I'm not going to lie to you. I might watch that. I think that's an intriguing, could be a fun matchup. South Dakota State and Baylor play in the second round tonight.
How many is in your Sweet 16 for men left?
I got 13.
13, okay.
I do not have Arizona. I do not have Pitt. And I think I had Marquette over Missouri. I think those are the three. I don't have my sheet right in front of me.
I'm missing four, and I didn't have Villanova, Xavier, Arizona, or and I didn't have Kansas. I had West Virginia.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Bob, and of course, they get
Bob
blasted.
Huggins lover. Well, wherever the basketball is tonight, if you're into the women's tournament, if you're into more NIT, if you're into the NBA, well, you can watch it all at the Chicken Coop in downtown Kearney and Grand Island with their high-definition televisions all over the place. There's not a bad seat in the house. Of course, you can catch baseball, spring training. It's going on now. You get out this afternoon. We know you work different shifts. Maybe you're not there for lunch at noon or dinner slash supper at 6. Well, you know what? They're open 7 days a week, a.m. to p.m., and they've got great food and drink specials every day and every night. They welcome you in to watch March Madness and all that is going on with their 12 flavors of flame broiled chicken wings, their great pizzas, their variety of burgers, salads, steaks, appetizers. It's all right there for you at the Chicken Coop. Maybe you can even knock down a quinoa ball or two at the Chicken Coop downtown Kearney and Grand Island.
I'm just noticing here, I'm perfect in the West bracket.
How tough was that? Perfect all the way out, or you got all four in the Sweet 16?
First round, second round.
Ooh, you're good.
Yeah, that's why I'm in 51 percentile.
You're so
Sucks.
Good. Let's take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. Bo Pelini coming up from Lincoln right after this.
Ah, spring. Nature's gentle way of saying, let's party. What better way to get in on Mother Nature's big party than on a new Yamaha motorcycle from Kearney Yamaha? The guys at Kearney Yamaha have 2009 models in stock and priced right. Their trained staff will help you find the perfect bike for you. Hey, with gas prices expected to keep going up, you can't afford not to check this out. Those great guys at Kearney Yamaha know how important it is that you be properly trained to ride a motorcycle. So when you buy a new Yamaha motorcycle this month, Kearney Yamaha will pitch in $200 when you complete a certified motorcycle training course. So what do you have to lose? A new bike and bucks back for completing a certified training course.
This is Dusty Rostad at Kearney Yamaha. Riding season is upon us with up to $2,500 off on select Yamaha Star motorcycles. The savings are great and the time is right. Together we can make this a summer to remember as well as a safe one.
Don't forget, Kearney Yamaha has changed their hours for the season. Now open until 6 weeknights, noon to 5 on Sundays.
Bo Pelini has taken the podium. Let's go live to Lincoln. Bo Pelini's spring press conference here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
It's just something that needs a little bit of time, you know, to heal, make sure it heals properly. And it was just kind of a freak accident when he was left in, and not very serious. But he, you know, he'll be out there pretty quick. We anticipate. We just don't want to rush him because it's something that if you get out there too quick, it'll just aggravate it. We don't want to do that.
How much of a setback is that for him not to be able to go through just the first few practices, or is it?
Not much. I mean, he's going to be in meetings and going through things, and I mean, he's a he's really a high school senior. He really shouldn't be here anyway. So the way I look at it, it's a bonus that he's here at all. And, you know, so, I mean, obviously he's here. We'd like to, he'd be practicing. But, you know, the most important thing is that, you know, it's not something long term. Like I said, the doctor said on a scale of 1 to 10, the injury is a 1. You know, so, but it's just one of those things where it just takes a little bit of time to heal.
What part of the body was that?
His hip.
His hip.
It's not. It's like tissue around the hip. It's kind of complicated what happened. Like they thought it was. It could have been more serious. They thought it was something more serious, but ended up being more just soft tissue. So it's not a. It's not a. Not an issue.
How does that affect the quarterback situation now? How many guys do you have at quarterback this spring?
Really 4. So you know, plus Cody. So you know, we're gonna. You know, we'll just see how it works out. It doesn't affect us that much. It'll be, you know, I mean, the guys that are ready to go will be out there tomorrow and going. You know, it'll be, I think it'll be good in some respects because we'll make sure that, you know, the guys that are out there are going to get a bunch of reps. That's what we need.
Who's our fourth quarterback then?
You're going to see LaTravis Washington out there playing some quarterback. Give him a, you know, he's something he wanted to try and we wanted to look at, and he's got a big arm, and you know, we need another arm, and you know, we're just going to see what it looks like.
Do you play quarterback in high school?
Yeah, oh yeah, pretty good one.
Well, what percentage of snaps do you think you need to get Zach Lee or want to get Zach Lee in the spring to kind of get him settled in?
We don't have any percentage going. We'll rotate him like Watts will rotate him like he always does, and. And, you know, it'll be pretty much equal reps. And, you know, the way we practice and the tempo we practice at and the amount of reps we get, you know, will lend to, they'll get more reps. If anything, we want to tailor it back a little bit.
You don't think you can separate him a little bit more than those other guys do?
Well, he will just by nature of being a little bit more experienced, but he's not going to get much more. I mean, it's not like, you know, in the spring, at any time, in any position, you're not as deep as you are in fall camp, so, you know, just by nature they're going to get more, and you don't want to wear them out. You don't want to wear their arm out and put them in a bad situation. So, you know, it's something we got to monitor. If, like I said, if anything, we got to make sure we don't give them too many.
What are you hoping to see out exactly?
Just get better. You know, he's got a lot of talent, and just want him to get better and compete for a job.
You tell him he's leader at this point, or
no? There's no leader on any position. Well, that isn't the way we go about it. There's no, it's compete. The guys that earn it are going to play.
You talked about LaTravis being the quarterback. Are there any other players that you know you're going to be trying a different position this spring?
Off the top of my head, I don't believe so. You know, there might be some things on the lines that we might switch some guys around and take a look to provide some depth at some different positions, but right off the bat, no.
Would you move LaTravis if Patrick hadn't left the ball?
It's something we've talked about and he's talked about, and he has a real strong arm, big arm. I haven't seen him play quarterback. Watts has. Watts saw him. I guess he came to our quarterback camp when he was here. Before he came out, and what would we have thought of that? I don't know.
How did that come about? Did you guys go to him, or did he come to you with that idea?
I think it was a mutual thing, kind of.
What's that Jabari Burks' status? Is he medically ready to go for this spring?
No, he will not be out there to start, and you know, we'll that's just something we're monitoring kind of week to week.
Does that go back to what happened to him in August with the blood pressure?
It's a whole different thing.
Does that adjust anything, what you're doing with your offensive line, as far as where you guys start out?
No, not at all. Feel really good about our offensive line going in. What we got to do is work and make sure we gain some depth coming out of spring. And we feel good about our 2 deep going in, you know, we just got to, like, there are a lot of guys that just need to develop. That's what this time of year is for, is just to take the guys we have and coach them up and make them better.
How is Andy Christensen modeled back into playing shape?
He's getting better. He's made a lot of progress. He's not exactly where he wants to be or where we want him to be yet, but you know, that takes time. You know, he was off for over a year, and you know, he's done a good job of getting himself back in shape or getting, you know, back to where we want him to be, and he's getting closer, and I think this spring will be big for him.
Has he been cleared by the NCAA to get that extra year?
I believe so. You know, off the top of my head, I don't think it's something that I think it's already been done.
Where are you looking to get out of your second year that maybe you couldn't get out of that first spring when you're just getting in the program?
Well, I think we have a better handle this year than on who we have, what we have on our roster right now, what we want to do, and I think we have a better plan as a coaching staff on both sides of the ball, where we are right now, where we want to get to, and how to get there. And told the team yesterday, I said, you know, we need to make some giant steps in 15 practices. And I think that, you know, it was a lot different this time of year last year. There's a lot more unknowns as far as I was concerned, as far as the staff was concerned. Now I think we have a better handle on things. We have a pretty good idea where we want to get there, where we want to get to, and how to get there. And I'm looking forward to it. I think that I know this, at this time we're a better football team going into spring ball than we were a year ago, and I think we can be. But we have to be that much better coming out of spring ball.
Do you see yourself getting involved more in the offense at all as you go forward?
Oh, I'm going to call it this year. No.
I mean, I know Watts had most things that rolled out last year, but are you going to get involved in that at all?
I told him he's out, I'm in. No. The offense is in good hands. I mean, Watts and the offensive staff that's as good as, you know, they're as good as there is out there. And I'm going to be that fly on the wall and that kind of the guy that always, you know, gives them ideas. You know, tries to shoot hole in some of the things that they're doing, just, you know, the same way they do with us on defense. And it's an interactive thing that their input makes us better, and hopefully our input on the defensive side can make them better. And as long as the communication's good, and but you know, I think that they've got a lot done in this off season, and I think that they're yeah, like I said, it's in good hands. I feel really good about our offense. Oh yeah, I mean it's. I just think that like I said, we're going to kind of start grassroots with these guys and start over again, and make sure we're, you know, that we stay on our progression, and I think that you know, they're going to have. There's a little bit more. They have a little bit more knowledge to start with, which is going to allow us hopefully to get better at what we did last year, build on what we did last year, and it's going to enable us to become more multiple in time. I just think back to my situations where I've been there, when I've gone into year two, year three. You hear going into year two here, I expect us to make a big jump, and that's, you know, we're, you know, when I went back and looked at last season, we were our own worst enemy a lot of the time. And if we fix us, which I think we have a pretty good idea how to get that done and how to make sure our guys are smarter, more knowledgeable football players, and play more consistently, I think we have a chance to be a lot better. You look at a lot of things that we did. We gave up a lot of play. We gave up plays. We gave up some big plays. We did things that wasn't necessarily what the offense did, but some of the things. I mean, obviously, you always got to give them credit, but I say that we did some things that just hurt ourselves, and just by doing some playing undisciplined football, doing some things that are not characteristic of defenses that I want to be around, and to me that's coaching, and you know, there are some things that we need to fix, and we know how to do it. You know, we got the right guys to do it. And I just think I have high expectations, very extremely high. And, you know, we made a jump last year from what they were the year before, but we're nowhere near where I want us to play defensively, and I expect to get there this year.
Are you referring to the personal fouls, that kind of stuff?
Well, that's all part of it, but I'm talking about more just executing our defense you know, there's discipline and focus and the things necessary to play great defense, play after play, and have that kind of culture where you're competing down after down. And and where their expectations, to be honest with you, where the players' expectations match ours. And, you know, it's, you know, until we're at the top, we're not satisfied. And we're not there yet. And like I said, I think that I expect to make a huge jump defensively. And that's, you know, that's the way I see it. And it's going to start here in the next 15 practices.
You were pretty strapped at linebacker last year. How much does a potentially better situation at that position change the defense overall?
Well, I think that I look at all our positions on defense, from the front all the way to the back end. I think we have a chance to be deeper, more athletic. And like I said, I think back to how we installed and some of the way, some of the things that we did coaching wise. I think we can do better, and I think our player we can teach, we get our players taught better. I think we can put them in better positions to start, and expect that to happen. Like I said, we've got a lot of work done here in the off season. We have a plan, and we're going to implement that plan. And I think the results will match it. I really do.
After losing players and then getting the recruits, can you compare the talent level from last year to this year going into spring game?
Like I said, I think I have a better handle on what we have here on campus and what our guys can do, what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are. And our guys, I think, you know, the biggest thing is our guys have been in the system now with Coach Dobson for a lot longer period of time. So I think we're more athletic, we're stronger. I think we're more prepared to make a bigger jump than we were a year ago in every sense of the word.
How's Anthony Blue?
He's getting better. He's feeling, I think his confidence in that knee is getting better, and the more he's out there, the more reps he gets, the better he's going to be. And he's a talented kid. He just, you know, it takes time. You know, I think he's 100% physically, but you know, the mental aspect of that injury is what you got to overcome, and that just takes time.
You guys, the secondary forced just 6 interceptions last year. How do you emphasize maybe getting more interceptions and working on it this spring?
Well, it's just a matter of being in the right places, playing your techniques, and gaining more experience. Our guys, I thought at the end of the year, played a lot better. You know, we do a lot of different things, and it takes time, and I think we'll have them taught better. Like I said, I think that a lot of those guys that were pretty young last year and inexperienced are going to kind of grew into the position, and we have some youth coming up that we think is going to be able to help us. I think we're deeper, and I think I think once again we have a chance to be a lot better at that position.
I had a chance to see an article, a poll going around for the recruits, and they listed some of the things they thought were important for them coming into the system, and coaches they had as number one. Can you talk about some of the reasons why you think they went ahead and put coaches at number one after being able to for a month or so?
I say that again.
They did a poll, and they had 10 things, and they listed them 1 through 10, and they had coaches as number one. I don't know who all did it, but they ranked the things that they thought were important to them, and they had coaches as number one.
As to why they chose the school?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I believe this at the end of the day. I always call this a little bit the me generation that we have going here with the kids you're recruiting, and it's what can you, you know, kids are going to look at, you know, who can take me to get me from point A to point B to reach my goals, and they you know they're smart enough to understand that, you know, the coaches are going to have a long, big say in what their future is and how they're going to get from point A to point B. And, you know, so they don't want to, they want to go someplace where they know that somebody's going to be invested in them and in their future.
Well, you were able to hold confident Fisher and Whaley last year. What do those three bring you, and where do those guys kind of shake out as far as what size?
Well, you throw in those three, then you throw in Krakenmeyer. We believe Matt May is going to be a guy who is going to have a big say in getting some playing time. You know, Blake Lawrence kind of came in, started playing some better football at the end of the year. You know, we just believe, like I said, we're going to have a little more depth, a little more, some more options, and hopefully the competition. You know, competition makes everybody better. And that's at the end of the day, that's what we're looking for, is guys that come out on the practice field every single day and compete and compete and compete. And because that's going to make us better on defense, on offense, and, you know, we're all going to make each other better. The more depth we have and the more competition that's going out there on the practice field.
How healthy is Philip Dillard? What are your expectations for him?
He's healthy, and my expectations are for him to compete for a job. He's going to have a lot of competition.
Did he fall behind in getting hurt last year? I mean, was there an element there that he lost some of that because he lost the last 4 or 5 games of the year with the ankle?
Maybe. I don't know. Sure, that had something to do with it.
Do you want to set too deep at the end of spring, or does it matter?
I don't worry about 2D. That's for you guys. I worry about who's going to be out there on the first game and who's going to be out there when the thing kicks off. You know, I don't get real caught up in the ones and twos. We got a lot of practices before we kick off that first game. And between now and then, there's a lot that can happen, and there's a lot of guys, you know. I focus on, and I told our players this again yesterday, what I concern myself with is the process, and the process that's going to take us to that first game. And there's a lot of competition there. There are no promises. There's no guarantees, and it's guys going out there and working their butts off to be the best they can be, and let the chips fall where they may. And at the end of the day, the best guys are going to play. And then there's, you know, everything they do counts in on the field, off the field, and see how it plays out. It's going to be a lot of fun watching it happen, because I think there's a lot more guys at this point that have a chance to win a job than you know, that I know about than where we were a year ago.
Robert Marv, the former Miami quarterback at Nebraska, among 6 schools he was interested in. What would be your level of interest in adding a transfer like that?
Well, you know, with Patrick leaving, you know, it kind of leaves a hole in a class. So we'd be, if it was the right guy and the right situation, the right kid, it'd be something we would be interested in. Possibly, we'll see how it plays out. You know, specifically him. I don't know. We'll see how it plays out.
With the lack of quarterbacks, will they be in green all spring?
No, I don't know. We haven't really talked about that, but they'll start. And you know, obviously, we'll be in green the first. You know, how we'll do handle it in the scrimmages, I'm not sure.
Who are you working at a defensive end? How's that situation looking behind Turner now?
Well, there's really no one behind anybody right now. You got Turner, you got Allen, you got Cameron Meredith, you have Josh Williams. Trying to think if I'm missing anybody. You know, we feel like we're going to have some pretty good competition at that spot, and got some guys that can do some things for us. You know, plus you got a chance to with some athletic linebackers, some guys with some size, a chance to, you know, on third down, maybe put some of those guys' hands down. And, I like what we have.
Is Turner going to be able to go this spring thing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he's ready to roll.
Change your practice schedule up a little bit, going on Sundays a couple times this spring. What led to that?
Well, you know, it's kind of an unfortunate situation that, you know, we have to deal with is, you know, we have some class conflicts, some situations where there's only certain classes offered one time a year at a certain time, and And what enables us to, you know, kind of handcuffs us. You know, that, you know, there's only certain times a day you can have your whole team. And on, you know, we were going to go on Monday, and we were going to have been without our starting center when you're trying to break in some new quarterbacks. And you know, and then Big Sue would have been missing from practice, so we decided to go on Sunday when we'd have the, you know, everybody out there and everybody rolling. And you know, it's not ideal for us, obviously, going Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but it's better than not having those guys out of practice. And it's just really a situation that we're gonna that we face sometimes in the fall. You know, that certain classes offered at certain times, and it's just, it's difficult on us. It's just, it's the nature of it. They, you know, when their class is offered in the middle of the afternoon, and it's their requirements, and they're, you know, they don't have those options to go in the morning, it's a problem for us, and really for all the sports, you know, and it's a situation that we just try to work through. It's what it is. It's just the facts.
Was there anything new on the status of Leverson and Justin Rogers?
Leverson right now has left the football team. Justin Rogers will not be back next year. Major Colbert will not be back next year. And Nick Covey is on medical.
I see Stafford's not on the roster.
Stafford will not be back next year either.
You know, I'm sitting here watching you and remembering how it was. You wore a red shirt today.
I was told this was orange, but what do you guys say? I say it's red. What about you?
All right, orange.
I thought it was red when I got up this morning, but it's kind of dark in my closet, so I don't know.
you seem a little...
Well, you know, what color did I have on last year? It's pretty good.
Last year was a different deal. You just seemed a little bit more not at ease. You seem a little bit more relaxed this time around. Have you changed at all?
No. I'm the same guy, and I think I've grown up a little bit into the position. I learned a lot my first year, and I can learn from, you know, just like anybody. You know, you make mistakes along the way. You do some things you like. There's a lot of things you don't like, and when you reevaluate it, you hope that you make corrections and become better. And hopefully that's the case. And I felt at ease last year going into the job, but, you know, I mean, it's just coaching with me. And I know this, you know, just like when I was a coordinator or a position coach, that you don't have all the answers, and you learn every step of the way. And if you continue to learn, you have a chance to make yourself better and therefore make the program better. And I think that if you ask the whole staff, I think we all learned, you know, along the way, and I think if we do things the right way, we'll be better because of it.
Sue came out and said that he needed to compete for his job and prove himself in the spring. How much does Sue actually need to prove himself here this spring?
Well, I don't, it's not as much, you know, it's, I always talk to him, and I've talked to Sue about it, is, you know, there's always that level you haven't attained yet. I promise you this, there's not a guy at any level of college football that's arrived. And, you know, and so he, really what he's talking about is going out there and proving that he wants to be the best. I mean, you're talking about a young man with high expectations and a lot of pride. And we're lucky we have him back, and it's that kind of attitude that makes him a special football player. And I think it's also the type of attitude that brought him back, and we're fortunate to have him.
How much room does he have
more
to grow this year?
Tons. You know, he could play. He's going to play in the NFL. And he'll probably play in the NFL for 7-8 years, and he still won't have reached his potential. I mean, that's how much there is more. There's so much, not just physically, there's not just technique and things that you're doing, but the knowledge, the experience you gain by the more snaps you get in the game of football, the better chance you have to become. That's a beautiful thing about it. I mean, you're talking about a young man who's, you know, 20, 21 years old. I mean, he's not even close to his potential yet. And which, lends them to want to go out there and work his butt off every day to keep getting better, because you know you won't arrive at this level.
Working a new guy at quarterback, how important is it going to be at the wide receiver position for a couple different guys to step up this spring?
Well, it's the competition's on there. You know, we got some guys who have played some snaps but haven't been the guys. You know, it's very similar to the situation we were in a year ago. And we had guys step up, and I think we'll see the same thing happen this year. And there's some younger guys that I think there are a lot of guys that see an opportunity, and we'll see what they do with it.
Coach, in a broad sense, just don't set goals. You want to get out of spring?
Get better. Period. And continue the development of the culture of what we want our program to be. And that's a broad, all-encompassing thing that has a lot I just came from a class. Make sure, just going in there and making sure everybody was doing what they need to be doing. And it's an everyday thing, and an all-encompassing competing in every aspect of your life as a student athlete here at Nebraska. And that's what we're asking our kids to do, and because everything counts. And the closer we get to the situation of all our guys doing what they need to be doing in every aspect of their life here, the better chance we have of getting this program on top. That's where we want to be. We won't be satisfied until we are.
Are you allowed to do anything during spring practices versus fall practices when it just comes to scrimmaging and being more physical?
Well, we try and practice physical no matter what, no, not really. You talk about rule-wise or just...
Being able to scrimmage with the time you have off just in case injuries might have to occur.
Well, you still want to protect each other because, spring ball is just part of it. And these 15 practices are important, but you're talking about the spring game coming on April 18th, and then they don't get to, then there's a lot that they need to do following spring ball in physical development, conditioning, and then into the summer, and then into fall camp. You want your guys healthy so they don't miss that aspect of it. And you can't just say, okay, we're going to go, it's all about these 15 practices, and then catch your breath and I'll see you in the fall. This is just part of it. And we just finished part of it, which was the winter conditioning aspect. That's 6 weeks or whatever it was. And then if these 15 practices will happen, it'll be get back to work in the weight room and conditioning and the overall physical development of these young men. And it's all part of it. And you can't just wrap it all up in these 15 practices and, okay, we're ready to go. It doesn't work that way. So, you want to make sure you can't sell out, and say, okay, we're going to beat the heck out of these guys and we can sustain all these injuries, and because you're not going to be as good in the fall if that happens. So you got to be smart.
Anything else for Coach? Pat on the finger.
Actually, I cut it on some glass, but you guys like the Band-Aid? Thank you.
That was Bo Pelini's initial spring press conference. We're running late here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I know one thing that caught a lot of people's attention right off the bat when he said Travis Washington would be getting some reps at quarterback. Now, Travis Washington, for fans out there, he's a cousin of Fabian Washington, NFL player, defensive back for the Huskers. You got to remember that he's out of Bradenton, Florida. He went to Nebraska's elite quarterback camp in 05 and 06, so he did play quarterback. I think that caught a lot of people off guard right off the bat.
And the way Bo Pelini said it, he said, hey, he's got an arm, so why not get him out there and, let him throw a few times? And
well, the guy's a beast. Like you were talking body fat, I'm minuscule, like 1.6%, I believe.
And with the departure of Witty, he mentioned that leaves a hole in that quarterback crew, so he needs somebody to step in. Why not have a guy who attended camps like that, who played quarterback, who's got an arm? I think it'll be interesting.
That's what, I think that caught a lot of people's attention. Other than that, Leverson not on the team, Colbert not on the team. Those are, it's a no-nonsense deal. If you don't want to be with it and you're not fully committed, you're not going to be around for the Huskers. And that's Bo Pelini's stance, and I think that's what that's just the way it's going to be at Nebraska. It's a different culture. It's the no-nonsense approach, and if you don't buy in 100%, you're going to be gone. And that's, I think that's why you won't see any of those players probably ever return. If the commitment wasn't there early, nothing wrong. If you're not 100%, I don't have a problem, you know.
And that's with most coaches.
You go to college and you find out it's different. And I don't want to do that. I don't. That's fine. I don't hold anything against John Lehrer. I don't hold anything against Major Colbert to not want to spend the hours needed to be on the Nebraska football team. If that's not your focus, if that's not your commitment, hey, I have no problem with that. And I don't think anybody should hold anything against those kids. But, Derek, we're going to get out of here on Doug and Daddy's show today. We'll be back tomorrow. Chuck Dummer set to join us. Talk a little Pheasants Forever as their banquet approaches. Also later in the week, Sonny Galloway, Oklahoma Sooner baseball coach, set to join us as well. Should be interesting. A big week of Big 12 baseball coming up. Kyle Gibson from Missouri stands out at pitcher again, another 3-2 victory. So we'll delve into that. I want to thank Eric Fuentes for joining us. I want to thank you for joining us on the Bo Pelini press conference. And we'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show, Southern Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 in Kearney, 1550 to our friends in Hastings.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.